From claims of healings and visions to the world's most inexplicable events, whether you're a believer or a skeptic, the truth is always worth the hunt.
EWTN Radio presents The Miracle Hunter with Michael O'Neill.
Welcome to the Miracle Hunter Radio Show on EWTN Radio. This is Michael O'Neill. I'm the Miracle Hunter. Hey, we've got a great show for you today. Today we're going to be talking about a brand new film that's out. It's called The Face of Jesus. And this is available in theaters for one day and one day only on June 3rd. And we'll be joined by, all the way from Poland, with the director, producer, director. His name is Jarosław Wejciech, and he'll be joining us to talk about that incredible new film that looks at the Shroud of Turin and the Montepello image, and also the Vilnius image. And I was just in Vilnius maybe 2 years ago, and I was just in Montepello a month ago. So I've seen these images very recently, up close and personal. So we'll be talking with Jarosław later in the program about this brand new film, how he examines scientifically these three images. Later in the show, we'll be speaking with Archbishop Mar Joseph Pamplani from the Metropolitan Archbishop of Telicery. And that's a Eucharistic miracle that was just announced in Vilakkanur in India, in the Kerala region. That was a brand new Eucharistic miracle that the Vatican has validated according to their new norms. So we'll be excited to talk with Archbishop Pamplani later in the program. Check out my series, They Might Be Saints, which airs every week on EWTN. This week's show relates to Bishop Frederick Berga, who is one of my favorite Might Be Saints, and that one airs on Sunday, June 1st at 1:30 p.m. Central Time. And trekking across Michigan's wilderness earned him the nickname of the Snowshoe Priest, but his heroic virtue bringing the gospel to Native Americans and immigrant miners may earn Bishop Frederick Berga sainthood. So check that one out, Sunday, June 1st at 1:30 p.m. And also my other program on EWTN, which is Explore with the Miracle Hunter, which airs on Saturday, May 31st. That's today at 5 p.m. And I'll be presenting the episode of Explore Kildare, where we go to travel to see the places of that great saint of Ireland, St. Bridget of Kildare, who was known as a miracle worker. And has her own national holiday there in Ireland. So she's a very important figure on the Emerald Isle. Check that one out, Saturday, May 31st at 5 p.m. Central Time. For those people who want to go beyond just watching the programs on EWTN but would like to see how the programs are made or go to the places themselves, you can join me on a Jubilee Year pilgrimage to Milan, Turin, Florence, and Rome for the canonization of Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati. And that's July 28th through August 4th, coming right up. And as always, we go to places of saints and miracles. We'll be visiting the Duomo in Milan, visiting Turin to see the Cathedral of St. John the Baptist, where the Shroud of Turin is held, and walk in the footsteps of Pier Giorgio and see the place where St. John Bosco had his famous visions. And we'll continue to Genoa to see the apparition site of Our Lady of the Guard. And we'll go to Lucca to see the Shrine of St. Gemma Galgani, one of the great miracle workers in the history of the Catholic Church. And we'll be going to Florence to see the home of many great artists. And we'll see Michelangelo's David, as well as the site of the apparitions of Mary to the seven holy founders of the Servites. And of course, we'll finish up in Rome to see the many incredible sites around Rome. And we'll be there for the canonization of one of the great modern saints, and that's Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, soon to be Saint Pier Giorgio Frassati. You can check this one out. Go to pilgrimages.com/miraclehunter to find out more and to sign up. Later in the show, we're going to be looking at the Might Be Saint of the Day. We do this every week where we talk about the person on the path to sainthood whose death or feast day lines up exactly to the day's date. For today, May 31st, we've got Blessed Nicolas Barre, who lived in France from 1621 to 1686. And the 365 Days with Mary project for today, May 31st, is Our Lady of the Stars from Salatica in Italy in the year 1536. And the question of the week, when will the new Pope, announce the new saints? And so we'll find out soon about that. I'll see if I can give you an answer to that one. And the miracle of the day relates to the apparition of Our Lady of Banneau in Belgium. Let's take a look at the miracle news. We do this every week where we talk about the miracles happening around the world and those things that relate to miracles. And for today's news, this isn't necessarily a miracle item, but it sure is interesting. tens of thousands of people flocked to see St. Teresa. And many have lined up to see her, silent and wonderstruck. This is reported from the Associated Press. Inside an open silver coffin, St. Teresa of Avila, more than 440 years after her death. And Catholics have been flocking to Alba de Tormes. It's a town ringed by rolling pastures in western Spain, where the remains of the Spanish saint, mystic, and 16th century religious reformer were on display this month. And the coffin of the saint, who died in 1582, was resealed and carried through the town streets, with pilgrims following the procession. And it's unclear how many years or decades will pass when the church will do this again. They'll make St. Teresa's remains visible to the public. And Teresa was last displayed in 1914, when people had a single day to see the saint, and it had almost 100,000 visitors. And so there are many people now gathering, tens of thousands flocking to see this during this month. So that is the Miracle News for this week. I posted a link to the page, my Facebook page of the Miracle Hunter, so you could check that one out. If you are in that area of Spain, would like to go see the relics of St. Teresa of Avila. Let's take a look at Catholic Pub Trivia. We do this every week, where we ask a trivia question and give out a prize to an emailer who writes in the fastest with the correct answer. This past week, we asked the question, what is the name of the ring worn by the Pope? And the answer, of course, is the Fisherman's Ring. And if I'm not mistaken, that ring was given to Pope Leo very recently in a ceremony. And also, when a pope dies, as Pope Francis did, the ring is removed and destroyed. So this is the ring of the sitting pope, and there is no other ring like it in the world, of course. So for this week's question, we have the question, what saint is associated with the face of Christ, the image of Edessa? And we have various images of Christ, the Veronica veil, for example, and the Montepello image and the Shroud of Turin. But there's this other image called the image of Edessa. And so the question is, what saint is associated with the face of Christ, known as the image of Edessa? If you think you know that answer, want to win the prize, the image of the faces of Mary, send me an email to miraclehunter@ewtn.com or questions@miraclehunter.com, and we'll see who's the fastest. And answers and winners will be posted on the show page on miraclehunter.com. We need to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to be talking with Jaroslav Vejciak, the producer and director of the brand new film, The Face of Jesus, out in theaters on June 3rd. Stay with us for that.
Now, back to the Miracle Hunter on EWTN. Here's Michael O'Neill.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Miracle Hunter radio show on EWTN Radio. This is Michael O'Neill. I'm the Miracle Hunter. Various episodes, various times over the years, we've talked about the Holy Face of Jesus. There are various icons and depictions, whether it be the Veronica veil or the Montepello image, or perhaps the Edessa image. Or we can even talk about the Shroud of Turin, or the image related to Divine Mercy, there being two of them, one being in Vilnius itself. And so we're excited because there's a brand new film that's out. It's called The Face of Jesus, and it's in U.S. theaters for one day and one day only, and that's on June 3rd. And we're so excited today to be joined by the producer, director of the film, The Face of Jesus, and that's Jaroslav Vejciak. Welcome to the program today, Jaroslav.
Hello. How are you?
Thank you for being here today. Talk a little bit about this film. This film, you explore two Kairopoita images, meaning not made from human hands images. We can talk about the Shroud of Turin and the Veil of Montepello, and as well as the Vilnius image related of the Merciful Jesus, the Divine Mercy image. What made you focus on these three very important images?
The movie is about these three images. Two of them are made, I can say, miraculously, because two of them was created in the tomb of Jesus in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. It was during the resurrection. This is what we can read in Bible in John chapter 20, where Jesus said that John and Peter went to the tomb, and he and go into the tomb and found two things. One was bigger, and second was smaller. This big one is Shroud of Turin, and the smaller one was called Veronica, and now it's in Manopello. So this two clothes was made in tomb of Christ in Jerusalem.
Wonderful. And for those people who wonder, what is the difference between the Manopello image? I was just there. I visited Italy this past month, and I was able to travel to Manopello and see that image very close. What is the difference between the Manopello image and the Veronica veil that's housed in the Vatican?
According to my opinion, and for many reporters, it's the same thing. I mean, Manopello veil was for many ages called Veronica, because it was this cloth was, as I mentioned, was created in a tomb in Jerusalem, and then through Camulia and through Constantinople went to Rome, and it was the most important treasure of popes for many ages. Probably in 16th or 17th century, this cloth was stolen from Rome by famous Italian family and put into Manopello. Of course, from this time, there is a picture called Veronica in Manopello, but this is for sure a picture. It was displayed every land once a year from balcony in St. Peter's Basilica. But the picture is for sure a picture, painted by somebody. This cloth we are talking about in Manopello, this is not made by human hand, and this is not a picture. It was created in a way we don't sure even how.
We are talking today with Jaroslav Rejiak about the new film, The Face of Jesus. He is the producer, director. This is available through Fathom Entertainment. It's in U.S. theaters for one day only on June 3rd. And for people who wonder about the correspondence between the images, the image of the shroud, the image of the face of Jesus on the Manopello image, even the Vilnius image of the merciful Jesus that you look at, talk about how these three images are related to each other.
How the three images are, first two images are archaeo projects. I mean, not made by human hands. The third one, Vilnius image of merciful Jesus, was painted for sure by painter Kazimierzowski in Poland, in Vilnius, then in Poland, now in Lithuania. So this is a picture, but this picture is very similar to Shroud and to Veil of Manopello. Veil in those times, 1930s, Shroud wasn't popular, and Veil of Manopello wasn't even known in this time. So how it's possible that Kazimierzowski painted this image in the way that it is close to Shroud and veil, we don't know. St. Faustina said that when Kazimierzowski, when she was in the workshop of Kazimierzowski, and Kazimierzowski was painting the image, Faustina saw Jesus himself, and tell Kazimierzowski how to paint the image. Mm-hmm. Of course, Faustina wasn't happy because she said, "Jesus is so beautiful, so extraordinary that it's possible to put into the picture, to the painting. But maybe that's why this image is so close to Shroud of Turin. In the movie, there is a Polish scientist who make research about face of Jesus in this free image, and this is the face of the same man.
We're talking today with Jaroslav Redziak about the brand new film, The Face of Jesus, exploring the various images of the face of Jesus. As the director and producer of the film, Jaroslav traveled around the world and went to San Giovanni Rotondo and to Montepello and to Rome to put together this incredible film about the face of Jesus. Now, Jaroslav, when you look at the message behind these images, the experience that people might have in viewing these images and viewing your film, what is your hope for people when they watch this film and they learn about the Montepello image, when they learn about the Shroud of Turin? What are you hoping that the viewers will gain from watching this, what they will learn from watching your film, The Face of Jesus?
I hope the movie Face of Jesus is a unique chance to sit in the cinema, in the theater, and look at the face of God. It's quite unique. For me, all the images are this is the face of the same man, but images are a little bit different because they show us something different. The face of Jesus, the Shroud of Turin, is John Paul II said this is icon of his way of cross. So this is face with closed eyes. This is icon of death. And the Montepello veil is the icon of resurrection, because eyes of Jesus are open. And this face in Montepello is something extraordinary, because especially if you were in Montepello, but I hope in the theater too, you can look at face of God. You can look into his eyes. When you are reading Montepello, it's beautiful because you can stand, let's say, half a meter from the monstrous with image inside. So you are just next to the face of Jesus Christ, and you can look at his face, and what is more important, he can look at you. So I hope people who can visit the theater can look at his face, and maybe Jesus can see them on the audience.
Wonderful. Well, we're so grateful to you, Jaroslav Redziak, for joining us on today's program as the producer and director of the brand new film, The Face of Jesus. People can go to theaters on June 3rd on that one day and one day only to see this brand new film about the face of Jesus. People can go to fathomentertainment.com to find out more information. Thank you so much, Jaroslav, for joining us on today's program.
Thank you very much.
God bless. That was Jaroslav Redziak, the producer and director of the brand new film, The Face of Jesus, available in theaters on June 3rd, where he compares three famous images of the face of Jesus as he travels around the world. We need to take a short break, but when we come back, we'll be looking at the question of the week. Stay with us for that.
Now, back to the Miracle Hunter on EWTN. Here's Michael O'Neill.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Miracle Hunter radio show on EWTN Radio. This is Michael O'Neill. I'm the Miracle Hunter. Hey, I love getting your questions. People write in from around the world with questions about miracles happening in today's world and those that have happened centuries ago. And I love getting your questions. I like to see what people are thinking about in the world of miracles, and I do my best to answer them. I love getting those emails coming in, and maybe I've got the strangest email inbox of anybody you've ever met, but I also love answering the questions in person. And I travel around the country maybe 20 times a year to different parishes, shrines, or conferences where I talk about miracles, of course, whether it be Eucharistic miracles or the visions of the Virgin Mary or how the Catholic Church investigates the miraculous. But I love speaking and giving so these 45-minute presentations, and I always sign books and answer questions afterwards. But right after the talk, I do a question and answer session where I always open it up to people, and I love to hear what people are thinking about. But the question I've been getting recently, especially in lieu of the postponement of the Carlo Acutis canonization. So the question is, when will the Pope announce new saints? Of course, we don't know that answer exactly, but we imagine it will be within this month that we'll find out about the new venerables, blesseds, and saints that Pope Leo is makes a promulgation of a decree on, and hopefully we hear about the Blessed Carlo Acutis canonization coming right up. Will it be bundled with Pier Giorgio Frassati? We'll find out. Or maybe it'll be a year from now. We don't know, but that should be coming. We do know that there will be a consistory announced on June 13th, so we should find out some information coming very soon. And if you have a question for the Miracle Hunter, you can send me an email to questions@miraclehunter.com, and maybe we'll be able to answer your question on the air next week. Let's take a look at the 365 Days with Mary project. We do this every week where we talk about the devotion to Mary that lines up exactly to the day's date. We all know Fatima, May 13th, or Guadalupe, December 12th, or Lourdes, February 11th. But believe it or not, there's a different Marian devotion that lines up to each day of the calendar year, whether it's a miracle or building of a basilica or a feast day or other way that Our Lady is honored. Each day has a different title of Mary associated with it. So for today's date, May 31st, we've got Our Lady of the Stars from Salatica in Italy in the year 1536. And the story goes that on May 31st, 1536, the Blessed Virgin appeared to Antonio da Antona, a poor deaf-mute shepherd in the Gardone via Trompia, who was tending the flock of a landowner of San Vigilio and reciting the Holy Rosary. Suddenly, he received an apparition of Our Lady with the child in her arms, and she said to invite the inhabitants of the surrounding villages to dedicate a temple in that place. And Mary encouraged him, assuring him that she herself would have confirmed his request with miracles and graces. And Paul III granted the building of the sanctuary, on which work began in 1537 and ended in 1539. And that is Our Lady of the Stars from Salatica in Italy in the year 1536, with an anniversary or feast date of today, May 31st. For more information on this fascinating devotion or any of the hundreds of other Marian devotions from around the world, you can go to 365dayswithmary.com, pick up the book, download the free app, or go to the Facebook page and join any of 10,000 other followers who get a new title of Mary each and every day of the calendar year. Let's take a look at the miracle of the day. We do this every week where we find a miracle that happened at some point in Christian history that lines up exactly to the day's date. And although this isn't truly the date of the miracle, on May 31st, 2008, Cardinal Godfrey Daniels, the Archbishop of Brussels and special envoy to Pope Benedict the 16th, accompanied on his mission by Fathers Godsveller and Bodison. They were members of the Cathedral Chapter of Liege in Belgium. They were there for celebrations marking the 75th anniversary of the apparitions of the Virgin of the Poor to Mariette Becco. And this is one of the most highly recognized, we call them modern Marian apparitions, in history. And that was the 75th anniversary on May 31st. In 2008, celebrating that anniversary as well, happening in the 1930s. And that is the miracle of the day. Stay tuned each week for a different miracle of the day as it lines up each day to the calendar year. Let's take a look at the sainthood news. We do this every week where we talk about the people on the path to sainthood, the might-be saints, people, servants of God, venerables, blesseds, before they have all their miracles and are declared saints by Rome. So we've been waiting for news coming from Pope Leo, where he would promulgate a decree for some of these new levels of sainthood. And so we're waiting, and I think that it will be happening soon, because The Holy See Press Office announced the date for a consistory for voting on causes of canonization. That was announced by Pope Francis earlier this year. And here's a look at what could happen. So on June 13th, 2025, Pope Leo XIV will hold an ordinary public consistory for the vote on causes of canonization. And the Holy See Press Office announced this on May 21st. And during the month of June, the pontiff will also celebrate seven public masses and major events in the context of the Jubilee of 2025, also put on the schedule by Pope Francis. So Pope Leo is jumping into action with some of these items that are on the schedule, but we can expect to see a new vote on some of these canonization causes, and perhaps we'll find out the news about Blessed Carlo Acutis and when his rescheduled canonization will be. Let's take a look at They Might Be Saints. We do this every week where we talk about those people on the path to sainthood. This lines up with my television series, which airs on EWTN Weekly, and also my book, They Might Be Saints. I think it's my best one, which is available from EWTN Religious Catalog or EWTNRC.com. So for today's day, we've got Blessed Nicolas Barré, who lived from 1621 to 1686 in France. And his memorial is today, May 31st. And he was born on October 21, 1621, in Amiens in Somme in France. And he was educated by Jesuits, and he joined the Minims of St. Francis of Paola at age 19. And he taught philosophy while he was a deacon, and he was a priest, a director of the library convent of the Palace Royal in France. And he was a noted preacher, and when he fell ill, he was sent to a friary in Amiens in France, and then to Rouen. And after much prayer and thought, Nicolas decided that a lack of education was behind most social evils, as young people were unable to fit into society. And so he started an educational movement, and a small general classes were begun in various parishes and trade schools, and apprentice programs soon developed. And he helped found a community of men and women teachers dedicated to public education. And these charitable teachers helped found several other groups with that same mission. He was consulted several times by St. John Baptiste de la Salle, and founded the Brothers of the Christian Schools. And he was noted spiritual director who taught an abandonment to faith. He founded the Sisters of the Infant Jesus, Providence Sisters of Rouen, and Sisters of Providence of Lisieux. And so this was one busy guy, Blessed Nicolas Barré, who died of natural causes on May 31st, 1686, and he was declared blessed by decree by Pope John Paul II on March 7th, 1999, and declared venerable before that by the same Pope. And so that is the Might Be Saint of the Day, Blessed Nicolas Barré from France. For those people who want to check out my television series, They Might Be Saints, it airs every week on EWTN Television. And on Sunday, June 1st at 1:30 p.m. Central Time, one of my favorite episodes, They Might Be Saints, Bishop Frederick Barriga. And the story of Bishop Barriga, he's trekking across the Michigan wilderness that earned him the name the Snowshoe Priest. But his heroic virtue brought the gospel to Native Americans and immigrant miners may earn him the title of saint. Check that one out. They Might Be Saints, Bishop Frederick Barriga. We need to take a short break, but when we come back, the Miracle Hunter continues. Stay with us for that.
Now, back to the Miracle Hunter on EWTN. Here's Michael O'Neill.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Miracle Hunter radio show on EWTN Radio. This is Michael O'Neill. I'm the Miracle Hunter. The past couple of weeks, we announced a news item, the approval by the Vatican of a Eucharistic miracle in Vilankanur in India, in the Kerala region. And this was big news because this stands as the very first time since the new norms were released in 2024, this past year, the norms for proceeding and judging alleged private revelations and other supernatural events. And we've seen some Marian apparitions being judged, but this is the first case of a Eucharistic miracle that has been judged by the Vatican. And this new document just was released on May 31st. And we're so excited because today we're joined by Archbishop Mar Joseph Pamplani. He's the Metropolitan Archbishop of Tiruchirappalli there in India. And he can give us some insight on what exactly happened in this occurrence and what the Vatican has said in rendering this approval. So we're so grateful to Archbishop Pamplani for joining us on today's program. Welcome, Archbishop.
Hello. Thank you very much for this great opportunity. It is nice to share something about the Vilakkanur event with the EWTN audience.
Now, for those people who don't know, I think we've seen some of the news items that have come up on Zenit and other places in the Catholic media that have described these events. First, set the stage a little bit. Talk a little bit about Vilakkanur, this small town. Is it a small town, a large town, mostly Catholic, Hindu, or some other religion practiced there? What is it like there in Vilakkanur?
To speak about Vilakkanur, it is a small town in the northern district of Kerala. The district is called Kannur. Yes, the miracle happened at Vilakkanur town, parish. Vilakkanur actually is a village inhabited by 4,000 to 5,000 people. The majority of the inhabitants are, of course, Catholics, because these Catholics have migrated in the previous generation from the southern part of Kerala, and the present inhabitants are the descendants of those migrants. They have real faith in Catholic Church as well as great devotion to the Holy Eucharist. And this town, of course, contains some number of Hindus as well as Muslims, but there is a harmonious coexistence between the various religious members living in the same town.
So everybody wants to know about the event itself, this Eucharistic miracle, this image of Jesus that appeared on a consecrated host in 2013. Please describe the event. What exactly happened on that day? And when did you personally first learn of this?
Yes, the event took place on November 15, 2013. Father Thomas Padigal, the parish priest of Christ the King Parish, was celebrating the daily morning mass as usual. Maybe some 30 to 40 people were participating in that Eucharistic celebration. While he was celebrating, the mass went on smoothly, and at the time of elevation of the Holy Eucharist, he noticed a black spot on the Holy Host. He began to look upon this black spot. Slowly he realized a face is being appeared on the host. Somehow he realized that this face looks something like the face of Jesus. Being astonished with this event, he had set that host aside and completed the Eucharistic celebration with a small host which was consecrated during that Holy Eucharist. After the Holy Mass, he showed this particular host upon which the image was imposed to the people. And the people were also astonished by seeing this miraculous appearance of the image upon the host. And having heard this event, so many people, thousands and thousands of people, began to crowd around this church. And there had been a real attraction of the devotees of the Holy Eucharist. Then Archbishop George Valiamattam asked the priests of the bishop's house to carry that Holy Eucharist upon which this image was seen to the bishop's house. It was brought here and it was subjected to several studies. Later it was given to the Vatican and they made several studies. Later it was given back and asked the Archdiocese to conduct certain studies and submit the result to the Vatican. And as a result, the final verdict has come out.
Now, I personally am very curious about the image itself. I've seen photos of it online and otherwise. But I'm curious, please describe in detail the image that formed on this host and what substance, if you know, blood or otherwise, that caused the discoloration in the host.
Yes, if you are asking about the type of image which was seen upon the Holy Host, it is the face of Jesus. It is a shadow face of Jesus, and it could be vividly seen that the face of Jesus is clearly seen upon the host. And there is no stain of blood upon the host, nor any particular other appearances, only this image, which will give us the impression that while we are looking upon the host, we are looking upon the face of Jesus. That is the most unique attraction of this Eucharistic sign, according to my understanding.
And when this happened, did all the witnesses and local people, even the priests and otherwise, consider this to be a true miracle? Or was there skepticism that the image was formed in some other natural or other way?
As far as I know, the people were really attracted to this particular miracle or this particular Eucharistic sign, and they began continuous adoration day and night. When it was taken from the parish church, the people were really agitated and they were actually against the decision of the archbishop, but the archbishop had consoled them. This must be subjected to serious studies and the final approval must come from Vatican. Then only we can make this sort of a public adoration. Having learned the meaning of these all actions, the people have somehow pacified.
Now, once the event happened, how was it investigated? What procedure did they use? And when was the Vatican brought in to the conversation?
It was in 2016 that the event was reported to Vatican. And even before that, the event was studied by a theological commission appointed by then Major Archbishop of the Syro-Malabar Church, Cardinal George Alangeri. His Beatitude had appointed the Doctrinal Commission of the Church, and they have made the study and they have reported that something unique is seen in this particular sign. And this study report had actually made the Archbishop of Tellicherry to report the whole thing to Vatican for greater consideration.
And we see May 31st is the date the Vatican is really releases the new statement of approval. And so my question is, what does this statement actually say? And does it come according to the new norms for investigating the supernatural that was released last year? And do they talk a little bit about any science involved, the science that would have investigated this image? And if so, I think this would be the, I think this is the very first case coming from the Vatican judging a Eucharistic miracle. Talk a little bit about what they looked into when they made this decision.
The Holy Host upon which this face was appeared was later taken to Vatican Nuncio in India. And later they have made several studies, and we have no idea about the real studies that were held in Rome on this particular Eucharist. After some 7 years, the Eucharist was again handed over to the Archdiocese of Tellicherry with the instruction of conducting 3 scientific studies upon the Eucharist. Those studies were Fourier transform infrared spectroscopy analysis, which is usually called FTIR test. This analysis can be used to analyze the total composition of a complex compound and also to identify and quantify surface molecules present on a material. And the second test suggested was HPLC-MS, or High Performance Liquid Chromatography and Mass Spectrometry. It offers greater capabilities in physical separation and mass analysis, providing accurate data on sample composition. The third test was suggested is a forensic test to analyze whether any chemical presence is there, either upon the surface of this host or inside the host. All these three tests were scientifically conducted and their reports were sent to Rome in sub secreto pontificio, and that is all what the archdiocese had been asked for, and we have done. Later the confirmation has come from Rome. Yes, we know that the Vatican has given a nihil obstat, that means nothing objectionable is there regarding the genuineness of the Catholic faith on Holy Eucharist. However, the real Eucharistic miracle is not this particular sign. From our faith, from all generations, we know that the real Eucharistic miracle is the transubstantiation of the bread and wine to the body and blood of Jesus. This is the real Eucharistic miracle happening on every Eucharistic celebration. But the signs or the so-called miracles or the alleged miracles like that happened in Vilakkano are only signs that would empower the believers to strengthen their faith in the Holy Eucharist. So it is better to call it as a Eucharistic sign rather than a Eucharistic miracle in the strict theology of the Catholic Church.
Now, many news outlets around the world are reporting the approval of this miracle. How are you alerted about this approval that has come through more than a decade later?
Yes, the Vatican had informed me or given me this NOC or this nihil obstat for publishing it. That is the way the Vatican is doing this. But in doing so, the Vatican document clearly states that it does not possess any element contrary to Catholic faith, but contributed to increasing the veneration and love of the faithful toward the most holy Eucharist. Again, to appreciate the pastoral value of this spiritual proposal and to promote its spread, that means the devotion to the Holy Eucharist, including the possibility through pilgrimages, the Vatican had given approval for the Latria to be offered to this Blessed Sacrament upon which the face of Jesus is appeared. That is true. The whole investigation as well as the study of this particular event had been done according to the new Vatican document, Norms for Proceeding in the Discernment of Alleged Supernatural Phenomena. This document was strictly followed throughout the study of this particular event. And according to the document, it has been highlighted that even though all the scientific, physical, chemical, forensic tests are pointing towards the genuineness of this particular event, it is not a Eucharistic miracle in the strict sense, because the real miracle is what Jesus performs upon the altar when the priest is celebrating the Holy Eucharist by transforming it into his own body and blood. So what we have witnessed at Vilakkano is an invitation of the Eucharistic Lord to convince our faith that what we see is nothing but the Eucharistic Lord himself.
And as we wrap up the interview today, I'm curious, what is your hope for the local faithful and the faithful of the world who have learned about this to be inspired by these events and perhaps draw closer to Christ in the real presence?
Of course, I fully believe that this whole event will be a real invitation for the faithful to deepen their faith in the Eucharistic Lord. Of course, the people around this particular church had real devotion to the Holy Eucharist, and it will be really embellished and empowered by this particular approval, and I hope not only for that particular village, this is a sign revealed by the heaven to every Catholic believer to deepen their faith in the Holy Eucharist and to frequent their attendance to the Holy Eucharistic celebration.
Well, thank you so much, Archbishop Mar Joseph Pamplani. He's the Metropolitan Archbishop of Tellicherry in India, and we're so grateful for him joining us on today's program and talking about this brand newly approved Eucharistic miracle in Vilankanur in India, in Kerala. Thank you so much, Archbishop, for joining us on today's program. And that's all the time we have for today's show. If you missed any of this episode or want to catch up on past episodes, you can go to ewtn.com/radio, check out the audio archives, or download the free EWTN app. I'd like to thank our guest today, Yaroslav Redziak, talking to us about his new film as producer and director, The Face of Jesus, available in theaters only on June 3rd. And also Archbishop Mar Joseph Pamplani, the Metropolitan Archbishop of Tellicherry, talking to us about the Eucharistic miracle just validated by the Vatican. Check out my Jubilee Year pilgrimage to Milan, Turin, Florence, and Rome for the canonization of Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati. That's July 28th through August 4th. We'll be going, as we always do, to places of saints and miracles. We'll visit the Duomo in Milan, visit Turin to see the Cathedral of St. John the Baptist, where the Shrine of Turin is held, walk in the footsteps of Pier Giorgio, and see the place where St. John Bosco had his famous visions. We'll continue to Genoa to see the apparition site of Our Lady of the Guard and go to Lucca to see the shrine of St. Gemma Galgani, one of the great miracle-working saints. We'll go to Florence to see that great art there, the David, as well as the apparition site of Mary to the seven holy founders of the Servites. And we'll finish up in Rome to see the many incredible sites around the Vatican, finishing with the canonization of one of the great modern saints, that's Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati. Find out more and sign up at pilgrimages.com/miraclehunter. I'd like to thank you for joining me today on Miracle Hunter, where from claims of healings and visions to the world's most inexplicable events, whether you're a believer or a skeptic, the truth is always worth the hunt. Talk to you next week.